Welcome to The Protagonistas, a podcast that is centered on highlighting the stories and experiences of Black, Indigenous, and other women of color among communities of faith. Our conversations sit at the intersection of race, gender, sexuality, and spirituality. I'm your host, Kat Armas.
Hola, 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 friends. It has been a minute since I've been here, so I thought instead of dropping a new interview without any context, I thought I'd do a little housekeeping, let y'all in on what's been going on and my future plans for this space.
But before I keep going, I just have to say, welcome to The Protagonistas.
So I think I've shared this briefly in the past, but with so much going on in my life in the last year and a half, something had to give, and unfortunately it was The Protagonistas that had to take a back seat. But we're back, sort of, at least for now. Now, because time and my relationship to it has changed recently, which is something I'd love to talk more about here on the pod, and also I do have a whole reflection on time as a colonial enterprise in my upcoming book, but I had to reevaluate how I want to use this space, or if I wanted to continue to put content here in the first place. And y'all, I had many, many, many months to think about this, and I'll be honest, I went back and forth. I thought maybe The Protagonistas ran its course, and the verdict about that is still out, of course, but I missed it, and I'd be lying if I said I didn't shed a few tears at the thought of not podcasting anymore, especially because this space has been so healing for me and for many of you, based on those of you who have reached out and let me know such. Now, as many of you know, I have a book coming out soon, and so I also wanted to take advantage and share about this work that I'm so proud of and that I worked so hard on. Now, yes, of course, I want y'all to buy the book, but more than that, the things I share in there are so precious to me, and because I'm a verbal processor, these thoughts and musings about theology take shape in places like this, and sermons and conversations and spaces where I'm able to sift through things I'm thinking about or things I've written about. So, friends, I think this is the direction The Protagonistas is headed, at least for the next few months. Also, because coordinating interviewees, prepping for interviews, finding a time to meet with folks, recording, editing the conversation, all of that takes way more time than I have to give right now. So, as I mentioned, for the next few months, I'd love to share shorter snippets of thoughts, musings that I derived from my upcoming book, Sacred Belonging. Now, I sort of did this last year, or the year before that, was it? When I would record interviews and then the following week release sort of a reflection on that interview. And so for the future of this podcast, at least as I mentioned, for the next several months, as long as time will allow, I would love to continue on that sort of trajectory of just sharing snippets, musings, and these will be related, as I said, to sacred belonging. Now, I do have a few interviews already recorded that need to be edited, so I'll be posting those in between so you can get your interview fix and listen to the incredible conversations I have with protagonistas in my networks. So stay tuned for that. Now, for today, I did want to talk to you about Pentecost because, well, it's my absolute favorite. And if you follow me on social media, you might have seen me tweet about it several times at this point. And if you are subscribed to my newsletter, which you totally should, if you haven't, just go to my website, katarmas.com, to do so, or type katarmas.com/newsletter. And if you're subscribed, you might also see some extra words about Pentecost in your inbox soon. But there are so many subversive details or things one can receive from the Pentecost story, particularly in regard to empire. You see, for me, Pentecost is an entirely anti-imperialistic story. A lot of the Bible is. And, well, a lot of the Bible isn't. And I'd love to leave some more interesting anti-imperialist details about this in my book, but I'd love to share one of my favorite Pentecost details with you now. Okay, so I'd love to set the Acts 2 scene for you, and I'll just go ahead and read it. When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all of these people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each one of us hear them speaking in our native languages?" And then the text goes on to name all the regions. And then it says, they were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Then Peter stands in front of everyone and declares, "This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." And then he goes on to declare what I love to call the Pentecost promise. And he says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur." Whew, isn't that just so good? In the context of the Christian empire that thrives off hierarchy and control and dominance, this is the Pentecost promise we receive. And that scene, it's just incredible, right? Like, there is wind and fire and loudness, and it is just absolute chaos. But this is part of what makes it so subversive, right? Like, this is the opposite of what we've been told to be, what the Christian empire has sold to us, of what it means to be a good Christian, of what it means to belong. The Pentecost scene is out of control, right? It is the opposite of fixedness and control and right and proper behavior. Like, the divine Spirit entering the scene is the opposite of what the Christian empire wants or asks of us. And it's just great. But there's one particular thing that stands out to me. Verse 6 says, and I quote, "They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages." Now, first, that word mystified is so good because it's not a word that's often used to describe the things of God. Many will claim God is far beyond anything imaginable, yet cling only to images of God they understand or agree with. But to be mystified, it's to have your ideas, your beliefs, your expectations just completely shattered in the best way. Friends, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the reason people were mystified, well, the disciples were speaking in the native languages of the diaspora Jews from all over. And this is monumental, folks, because it is a direct affront to empire. "Aren't these Galileans?" they asked when they heard the native languages spoken. In the Roman Empire, Latin was the official language, but Greek was the common language that mostly everyone spoke. And here's the thing about language and empire. Throughout history, empires, including the Roman Empire, have used language as a tool for power and dominance. Native tongues spoken on native bodies have been deemed inferior by invaders bent on conquer and control, and conquered peoples have been told their languages are secondary, less than, unimportant. Dominant voices spin language in order to make the narrative favorable to their viewpoint. They do the interpreting and the translating and tell conquered peoples that in order to belong, they must assimilate. They must learn the new enlightened language and speak and sound and act like empire and Christianity, friends, is deeply implicated in all of this. In many cases, riding high on the winds of this linguistic imperialism, and it did similarly to the Jewish people loving their language, but hating them. This is what the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 teaches us, that the Spirit of the Divine does not ask us to assimilate, to contort ourselves into something we are not. The Divine Spirit asks us to be the full expression of who we are and speak, oftentimes yell, as we see in Proverbs 1 of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We are to yell our truth because empire, not the Roman, not the American, not the Christian empire, does not and will not have the last say. When the Holy Spirit appears suddenly, everyone feels at home. This is how we are seen and known by Spirit. This is part of what makes her so subversive, my friends. And so this is part of the Pentecost promise that just does something to me. It invites all of us to be who we are, particularly those who have been marginalized by language, by custom, by culture, by whatever it is that the empire seeks to silence and control. And so, friends, this is your invitation to step into that freedom today and every day. This, friends, is what is sacred and beautiful and holy. So, thank you for listening to this, to the Protagonistas 2.0, maybe, for the next few months. I'll be sharing snippets like this that point us to my upcoming book, Sacred Belonging, which I have an entire reflection on this idea of language and what language means and has meant throughout the centuries, and how we can connect more with the sacred through language, through words, through the full expression of who we are. And so thank you for listening, friends. We'll talk soon.